Greetings and welcome to this Valentine's Day edition of the Wandering One podcast. And no, it won't be Valentine's Day themed. It's just happening to come out on Valentine's Day. So this is brought to you by Wandering One Studios and your host, myself, Link Flores. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful Valentine's Day. A happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, let's get the housekeeping out of the way. Thank you to everyone who's been listening to the podcast, who's been sharing it around, and who's decided to support it in whatever way they feel makes the most sense for them. Thank you so very much. It's been amazing. Like our fine folks over on Patreon, the questions that are coming in, the advice requests, and everything that's just dropped down, all the love is there. So I'm feeling it. It's really great. The first February episode is currently out. The next one should be arriving very soon, so keep your ears open for that. If you like to support the podcast and get a couple of extra bonus episodes each month, for just $3 a month, you can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. You can also check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/LinkIB, doing video game content to varying degrees of skill and aptitude, but we're at least having fun. And last but not least, streamlabs.com/LinkIB/merch for Wandering One Studios and Twitch-themed video game merch. New designs are going to be coming. I think I'm probably going to end up taking the last week of February off, minus my subscriber giveaway stream that I do intend to hit, and then just focus more on getting designs done and up and ready for the people to look at so that they'll be ready in March like I promised they would be. And that does it for that section. So, yeah, thank you guys. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm hoping you guys are enjoying it. The next biggest thing that's happened besides Valentine's Day also this week was the quote-unquote Super Bowl. Word? Look, we don't have the gridiron gripes anymore because football's gone bye-bye now. The last big game of the year has happened, and, you know, we've seen all the memes about people making it about, that people have been making about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and, you know, grown men crying about Taylor Swift being on during a football game, blah, 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 blah. I think the memes actually ended up being the better part of the game. Which is kind of sad because the game wasn't bad, you know what I mean? It just wasn't a knockdown drag out like you'd hope, you know, but it was a good game. It felt like more of a mid-season game after both teams had kind of found their sea legs and were figuring out their own strategies for winning games against varied opponents. So I mean, it wasn't horrible. I actually couldn't watch the entire thing myself. If anybody remembers, on the 11th, I did an impromptu stream and just played video games during the entire Super Bowl because I just didn't care. And then I started watching some more of it over the last day or so. And, you know, since I record this, generally speaking, the day before it airs, this is now Tuesday, the 13th of February. And I watched some more of the game and I'm like, you know, it wasn't a bad game. I just didn't care for either team that was playing. And it was so overly hyped and sensationalized as far as the controversy, quote unquote, alleged controversy surrounding the game, right? With Taylor Swift is just going to be on screen every 30 seconds. Boo-hoo-hoo. So all the little man babies that were crying about why football just can't be football. It still was, asshole. You know what I mean? Like, if you're that worried about it, take a page from the book of Bill Burr, which is like, I think I mentioned this before. He records the Super Bowl and gets up to about halftime. Then they start watching this game at halftime. They watch the halftime show, and they watch that first. And then they go back to the beginning of the game while it's currently being recorded, and they'll watch the recording as it's in progress and just skip through the commercials. So you can skip through all the times when they looked at Taylor and her friends being happy for her boyfriend doing good on the football field. If it really affects you that much, what a whiny little punk you are. So yeah, I didn't care for the hype. I didn't care for the teams. And it's just, nobody really wanted to do anything for the Super Bowl. So I was like, all right, it doesn't matter to me. Me not seeing it isn't going to kill me. It doesn't add or take away from my life at all. In fact, I had a blast of a time streaming Baldur's Gate 3. And I'll be honest, I don't think I would have traded it for anything because it was way more fun and I enjoyed myself way more. I'm going to discuss a little bit more about video gaming and streaming in a little bit, but we'll finish up this topic about the Super Bowl, because then there was the halftime show, which I mentioned just a moment ago, which obviously now has become, for most people, the best part of the Super Bowl outside of the commercials. And I watched it, and you know what? It's good to see that Usher still got it. Usher Raymond just out there looking fantastic. He's in excellent shape. still performing at a high level, although you could tell he was sweating his ass off because, yeah, why not, right? He's singing and dancing, not lip syncing, actually singing, which was great. Honestly, like the Super Bowl halftime show for me has kind of lost a little bit of the fun. I didn't really, never really was a huge fan of like the pageantry behind it. I'm like, it's all right or whatever, but I would rather just watch a concert because like lately it's gotten so out of control. The best way I could describe it is it's like if a Cirque du Soleil performance had sex with a Hype Williams video and they had a baby. That's kind of what it felt like, you know? It was like watching one giant aeronautical display that was, you know, airing on Yo MTV Raps. Not necessarily a bad thing, just wasn't what I was there for. And I'm like, eh, it's fine. As a diversion in the middle of the game, it's fine. I'm not going to cry about it because it didn't really bother me one way or the other. That was cool. You know, like Usher looked great. Lil Jon and Alicia Keys being out there. Alicia Keys looked fabulous, as always. Jermaine Dupri needed to have his ass whooped for wearing a little schoolboy outfit with them knee-high wrinkled up white socks. For somebody with so much money, man, Jay Dupri looked like he just got his outfit for like last communion at Goodwill. I'm like, yo, no, they didn't put him up there like that. I'm like, that's a grown-ass man. He did that to himself. Your boy looked childish, and I was laughing the whole time. I know Usher was going to look wild because it's the Super Bowl, right? He's the centerpiece. He's got to stand out and flash a little bit more than everyone else. But Jay Dupri, man, oh my God. No, dog. Like, that ain't the one. He looks so ridiculous. It was distracting. I actually rewound it a couple times to just look at him and just laugh at him. He looks so goofy. But overall, halftime show was really cool. You know, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things that you're going to have when it comes to the biggest issue you're going to run into when it comes to something that's as commercialized and as, you know, financially marketable as the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's going to get sponsored by Apple, and there's going to have millions and millions of dollars worth of advertising dollars sandwiching it on either end. And you're just bound to have that kind of excess on display. And then the fact that it's in Las Vegas and whatnot, I mean, I'm sure that that added a certain element of extra zhuzh on top of it, but it wasn't bad. The game was okay. And like, you know, it was kind of cute actually, because I saw certain parts where like Taylor and her friends were just sitting there cheering on the Chiefs. And, you know, it wasn't any different than when you watch an NBA game and they find all the celebrities that are courtside or sitting in the stands and focus on them. It just so happened to be that this is one of the most bankable music stars out there. And she's hooked up with this guy whose football team made it to the Super Bowl this year. I guarantee you, if they hadn't made it this far, the fact that Taylor Swift started dating this guy wouldn't have meant shit. If they hadn't made it to the playoffs at all, no one would have cared. You wouldn't hear about them another second. But just because they did, that's why it's a big story. And it'll all be gone come next year, next season. When it's all over, you know what I mean? Like, with, now that the streamers have gone down, they swept up the confetti and everything like that, and they've all retired to their respective locker rooms and homes, no one's going to care. You know what I mean? Like, you won't hear much more about Travis and Taylor for, you know, maybe like another week or two after this, and then it'll die. And then next season, if they're still together, you know, you might hear about it once or twice, but then that'll probably be the bulk of it, because people will realize how overblown and hackneyed it is. They're like, yeah, we're fine. We're good. We don't care. So anyway, congrats to the Chiefs. Tough luck, San Francisco. Maybe next year. Today, this one just wasn't your year. It's fine. You'll be all right. You'll get over it. Well, you know, I said we were going to talk about Valentine's Day, and I did mention the Patreon episodes of the podcast where I was asked a very point blank question. What are your feelings about Valentine's Day? And, you know, if you listen to the Patreon episode, you'll hear a little bit more about what I truly think about Valentine's Day. Surprise. It's not as much of a problem for me as you might think it is. I don't know why you would think it is, but who knows? Yeah, I actually appreciate Valentine's Day, but I think it's more like the little things that I like. I think surrounding Valentine's Day, one of the other debates that we had in Discord was about Valentine's Day and, you know, why it's such an emphasis on this day in particular. And the reason why, I think, is because, you know, it's obviously it's a commercialized thing, but it's also, like I said, is, you know, love, as it grows and matures, it changes its shape. It doesn't necessarily change the emotion as much as it just changes the way it's presented and how it's expressed. And I also think that, like, for me personally, it's the little things that really do mean the most. Like, sure, everybody would like a big extravagant gift or celebration of them or whatever. But I mean, maybe it's just because I'm simple. Maybe it's just because I'm a little older. But I mean, I noticed this change in me, like, right in my early 20s. So for the better part of half my life, and even then, even when I was younger, I didn't really care about Valentine's Day. I mean, I had Valentine's Day dates, and I would get the little cards and shit you get when you're in class and, you know, in grade school and whatever. And every now and again, if I was seeing somebody, I would have a girlfriend, I would, you know, take her out for dinner or whatever on Valentine's Day. But it wasn't really that much of a big deal to me personally. I just would rather you be, like, just considerate and thoughtful throughout the year, you know. And you want to do something fun on that day? Do something that makes me feel like you're paying attention to me in the moment, that you see me and recognize me, right? How about a shared experience? Like, those are the things that I find are much more appreciated as I get older. Like, having stuff doesn't really interest me. I've got a room full of stuff, an office full of stuff, and if I could throw away, like, a third of it, I'd be stoked. And there's some things that I keep because I need them. Some things I keep because I want them. There's a lot of stuff that I have around here that's just stuff. And while I appreciate the thought behind it, like, I don't, what the fuck am I going to do with all this crap? I had to find some place to put it, or I leave it packed up in a box where I'll never see it and never look at it. And if I do have it out, I want to have it somewhere where it's not going to get destroyed, or it's not going to get dust all over it. You know what I mean? It just ends up making more work for me. Like, that's not considering my feelings at all. I got enough shit to do every day. You think I want to spend an extra, like, hour or so walking around dusting knickknacks? Hell no. Hell no, man. Like, you know what? You want to do something cool for me? Take me to a new restaurant I've never been to before. You know, take the time to go, like, oh, well, I know the menu's got this, that, and this, that, and the other thing on it. So your diet's going to be fine. You think you're going to like it. Take me to a show or, like, an art gallery or bookstore even. You know, like, get, like, a tent and let's get, like, a little, you know, lantern or fire going. Have, like, a lakeside dinner. I don't know. I can sit down and watch my favorite show with me and shut up and pay attention the whole time. Like, it's little shit. You know what I mean? That's one thing that I think is, like, often overlooked, is just how important it is to share an experience and to be present for that experience. Like, I get that not everybody's going to be into everything that their partner's into, right? It makes total sense. Otherwise, you might as well just date yourself, stay single, right? Why should everybody be identical? But few things are ever as off-putting for me as like the moment when you're trying to share something with someone and they just kind of, like, glaze over, or they, you know, mentally you can see them checking out, or even sometimes physically, like, they're just going to go and do something else while you're trying to share it with them. And it's like, if you're playing a song for somebody on the radio or whatever, or on, like, your phone or whatever, you're like, hey, I want you to check this out. And then they pull out their phone and start scrolling social media. You're like, well, what the fuck, man? Like, why am I even here? At this point, if I'm the only one who's going to enjoy this, and I'm the only one that this matters to, I don't have to be here, you know? That kind of stuff can really put people off, you know? I hate that, too. It bothers me a lot. It's like, if this is boring you, I mean, I can always go find someone else who appreciates this and wants to do that with me. Only thing about that is then that gets dangerous after a while. If you're constantly having to seek, like, an outside means of somebody to notice you and appreciate you and the things that you're into, then you're looking into some dangerous territory, I think. Like, that means you're, like, you're on the verge of just being like, why do I even need you at that point, you know? And it'd be terrifying, you know what I mean? That'd be fucked up. If I was like, you know, my wife was into something, and I don't know, let's pick anything, you know? Okay, I'll pick something that I don't necessarily care about, because my wife likes those, like, true crime murder things. I don't know if it's just a woman thing or whatever, but for some reason, chicks like true crime dramas. I can't stand them, mainly because I know the thing happened to a real person. It freaks me out more. Like, a movie, it's like, all right, I can separate myself from the idea that somebody would come up with this story, but to know that it actually happened to somebody freaks me out a little bit. And I don't, generally speaking, watch them, but, like, if she's watching them and I'm in there, I'm going to sit down and try to focus on the thing and pay attention to what's happening. I can imagine, though, if, like, I was like, yeah, I don't really care for that kind of thing. And I would just leave it. And every time she would do that, every time she would watch something like that, I would just be like, I'm going to, dick around on my phone, or I'm going to go out and do this or whatever. And then eventually she finds somebody that she can connect to on that level. And then she's like, well, you know what? You don't like doing this, and you never want to hang out with me when I'm doing it. So I just go find someone else who will. Then eventually she might find someone else who will, you know? So that kind of idea terrifies the fuck out of me. So, I mean, even if I don't really get into something, I try to make sure I engage with her at some point on some level. I mean, that's been the thing with every person I've ever dated, though. I might not understand or appreciate all the things that they do, but I want to at least let them know that it means enough to you, so it means something to me, too. And maybe I don't have to be here all the time, but like my friend said one time, sometimes you just got to put in the hours, man. Might not be your jam to do and hang out every day, but you know, when you take the time and sit down with somebody and just engross yourself in what they're into just for a little bit, so you can show them, hey, I appreciate that you like this thing. That can go a long way, you know? And then it might mean more to them than a gift. That is the gift. The fact that you took out of your time and out of your day when you normally would rather be doing anything else but this to do expressly this thing. And it goes all the way around, like just doing little things to help one another, or to, let the other person know, hey, I see you, I see you, I appreciate you, and I'm trying to do this because you matter to me. Those are really great things that you can do for Valentine's Day. They don't have to cost a lot. They don't have to be super expensive or extravagant, but as long as you're having a good time and enjoying one another's company, fuck yeah, man, go nuts. Do what you got to do. Have a good time. I think that's really the most important thing. So for this Valentine's Day, take it light, take it easy, have a good time. Don't go nuts. Just be grateful that y'all together and doing stuff. Let's poke at some other things. I got to tell you, like, I know we don't talk. I talk politics every now and again. I don't try to dig too heavily into it. And mainly I don't have to for most of the time, because I think if you know what you know, you like what you like, or you do what you do, and me telling you isn't really going to change a lot of stuff. However, that said, Jon Stewart is back on The Daily Show, and boy howdy, did he lay into Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Democrats and Republicans across the board. I loved it. I thought it was great. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, go listen to it. Because the real truth is, this whole Biden versus Trump thing, everyone loses, right? Like, no one's winning because either of their guys got in there, right? Unfortunately, Joe Biden is just slowly sliding off the plate, and Donald Trump is trying to eat it, lick it, or fuck it. I don't know which. Probably all three. So both of them are definitely not what the country needs, and we're very clear on that, I think, as a country. Like, I think we know, but partisan politics blind us sometimes to the obviousness of the truth. Neither one of these dudes has got it for us. They're old. They're super old. They should be in a nursing home right now, chilling out and relaxing, enjoying their golden years, instead of trying to make decisions that affect like a huge chunk of not only just North America, but sections of the world. There's no reason for them to be wielding this kind of power if they can barely wield a spoon. Stop this shit. And here's the thing, I never thought I'd find myself pulling for somebody. I'm actually pulling for Nikki Haley to become like a standout, standalone candidate rather than the Republican National Convention's, poster child. Because I think the more that she pulls votes away from Trump, the more that she starts to show some of the glaring differences between the two parties, their ideologies, and their chosen candidates, the more she's going to get people to kind of go, yeah, we need somebody a little bit more in the middle, don't we? We can't have these two doddering old dudes duking it out, But we definitely can't afford to, just have nothing, Like, it can't just be a complete power vacuum. I'm not saying that Nikki Haley's the answer. I mean, far be it. But I think that she just needs some more support, just enough to push her to the point where she's actually edging Donald Trump off the edge of the, just off the edge of the leading end of the RNC. I hate to say we're doomed as a nation, but I really feel like in a certain way that we haven't bothered to really try to learn anything through our history, and we haven't really come together as much as one would hope we would have over the last couple of decades. And while we've made some steps forward, we've made some huge steps backward. And I really just want to see things shaken up a little bit, but not like to the crazy point where, like, you know, we've got people in pitchforks and torches walking down the street, you know, police shooting, you know, pepper balls at just innocent protesters. That kind of stuff is way, it's a bridge too far, and we don't need that. But we need some kind of change. And it would probably be better if we stopped allowing people who are old enough to collect Social Security run the country. I mean, it's probably time to make sure that, hey, we put an age cap on this shit. We already said you can't serve more than two consecutive terms. So that, and then I say no more than two terms, period, not consecutive. No term, two terms is it. You get one shot, two shot, that's it. And then if you're over a certain age, sorry, we just can't. We'd rather you not be doing this. Because not only can you have some really dangerous and outmoded ideas, but you're not in the brightest and best of shape all the time. It's time for you to chill, man. You've worked hard enough. Fucking, you should feel retired from your job. You should retire from politics. Boom, that's it. Make it a young man's game or young person's game. We don't need y'all here. Everybody go sit down. Have a nap. You know what I mean? Have a cup of tea. Watch the sunset. Chill. I mean, and obviously this is just my opinion, but I don't think that I'm too far off the mark where, like, enough people out there probably agree with me. I know that there's probably a lot of people who won't say it because the whole, well, you shouldn't talk about politics or religion because it doesn't make for a polite conversation. Yeah, but then the problem is, as soon as we don't do that, we forget how to be polite around difficult conversations. So I absolutely do believe that if you care about someone, you should discuss these kinds of issues with them. Because if you don't, you don't know what they think. You don't know how they feel. And they vice versa. They won't know how you think and how you feel. So if you care about someone, you should have these conversations with them so they understand and they know, oh, this is where you're coming from. Maybe I hadn't considered your perspective. And I think it's to me, it's a love language all its own. So that's why I say it to you guys, because I love you. I appreciate you. And I want you to know, too. And you can tell me. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you think. I'm not going to say you're right or I'm right or you're wrong or I'm wrong. Unless it's about art and AI. In this one instance, I know somebody that I just had a conversation with recently. And I 100% believe that they're wrong. And it's also partly about the way that it's phrased. I don't really care much for, you know, people talking sideways to me or whatever. Or acting like I'm a fool, because I'm not. Especially someone who's about a third of my age. Like, let me just be real with you. Older people are smarter. Just by virtue of the fact that they have been around, they've seen and experienced more, they've witnessed more, they have more knowledge accumulated just on average than a younger person. That doesn't mean that all their stuff is great. It does mean that they have more of it, though. So just by virtue of that fact, you got to give them a little bit of running room. You know, like, let them kind of run themselves out through their paces and then go, all right. So either you know a lot of good stuff or you know some good stuff and a lot of dumb stuff, but you got to let them run with it. And one of the things that I got was this argument that was about AI being used to improve working conditions for artists. And the thing was, you know, well, you know, in Japan, you know, a lot of the artists that work in, you know, animation houses put in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours, and they're staying up super late and they're working, you know, these crazy cramped conditions or whatever. And I'm like, ugh, no, that sucks. Quit or unionize. But don't start using AI as the crutch. Because the problem that's going to happen is that AI shouldn't replace human creativity. And it cannot. Here's just the idea that people are failing to realize. It is an algorithm and it is a learning engine, right? But without any input, it only will learn what it has to sample as far as data. So if people stop creating, they go like, I don't want anybody to steal my art, so I just don't do it like that. Maybe people will take their art offline entirely. They're like, no, we don't have gallery showings. We don't do this kind of stuff online. We only do in-person showings of our artwork. You can't find it online. You know, if you go to the artwork, there's actually a data scraper. I'm trying to think of what it was called. I know that one of my buddies, Payne, dropped it into one of our channels. It's a program that they can use to embed data into photos so that when AI tries to scrape it, it poisons the AI. And it just makes the AI's data work worse, which I think is hilarious and great. But, you know, outside of failing the ability and the knowledge to do that, I mean, I do think that automation to a certain degree is helpful, you know, but at what point does it stop? Because my personal thought is, you know, as a creative person, I don't want anyone to steal from me. I've had people do it. I've had people that I considered friends do it from me, you know? Like somebody close to you, you were working with them on something and you come up with this great idea and they're like, this is awesome. And now fuck you. And then they take the idea and they go off and run off with it. It hurts. It sucks. Now imagine that it happens often enough that now a robot can do your job and you become obsolete. What's left? Where do you go? Where do you turn to for the next innovative story, the next creative design? You know, who do you go to? You've burned all the other bridges. And the automation shouldn't overtake the human experience. It's the reason why people are so cloistered off and unable to actively engage with one another. You know, it's terrifying to listen to. And I tell people all the time, like, you know, the scariest thing I could see when I go out is a group of young people that are sitting at a table that they all agreed to go to, and they all have their phones in their faces. It's heartbreaking. You know, you can't talk to each other. You're sitting less than 3 feet away from each other. Fucking experience the life that's happening right next to you, you know? And I think that the more we alienate ourselves from the things that give life joy, art, music, literature, culture, like, you know, architecture, design, food, we're losing a part of the human experience that we can't get back. And, you know, if we start automating it to the point where everything is being done for us, then what's left for us to do? You know, you look at it all around, you don't see it right away. And then you start to see it. And you're like, fuck, what happened? Grocery stores. I don't know if anybody else is listening to this that can remember, but even as far back, I mean, as recently as like 10, 15 years ago, you would have maybe one or two self-checkout kiosks anywhere you went. Because it was such a new technology. They're like, it's just for people who just really need to hurry up and get the go. But there'd be cashiers in places. Now, I challenge you to find 8 cashiers working the lanes at Walmart. Almost everybody's going to the self-checkout. There might be 3 people that are actively working. And then there's 2 more people at the customer service desk who are barely serving customers. I mean, I talked about it earlier in the year, or actually last year in the end of the year, calling a help center and realizing that you're just going to be talking to a robot and pressing a bunch of buttons, playing a mini game to try to solve a problem that you didn't create, but now you're stuck with. You know, there's even certain doctor's offices where like they have you fill out this questionnaire. And most of the time you're like, okay, this is helpful, I guess, in the terms of expediting things, except for the part where I'm still here for a half an hour to an hour before I actually get seen by the doctor, although I showed up on time for the appointment. I remember going to a doctor and filling out this stupid questionnaire on this giant orange iPad looking thing. It looked like they would have given it to a kindergartner, and I had to fill out all the information about my symptoms and my insurance information, my driver's license, and this, that, and the other, only for them to ask me all the same fucking questions as soon as I walk back there. I'm like, why did I do this then? You literally just gave me an iPad to play a mini game, the most boring mini game ever, before you just asked me all the same questions. Like, I could have just self-diagnosed myself and then just told you what to write me a prescription for. And if it worked, then great. I don't have to pay the copay, right? This could come off of my deductible if I can figure out what I'm doing. But as we start to look in AI and technology overtaking some of the more simple, quote unquote, simple and mundane, as they might say, human interactions, we fail to figure out how to actually interact with one another ourselves. And when we take that out of art, we take away the soul of art. And I get that these people are having some difficulties and that their conditions are shit. Quit. Leave. Find another job. You're good at your job? you can find another job. It might be tough. It might not be easy. It might not even be where you wanted to live, but you could find a place where you could carve out a life, carve out a career, and not have to carve your wrists open. I'm not saying that I don't feel bad for these folks. I do, but only up to a certain extent. How much are you going to participate in your own misery? And I think the part of it is that, you know, people want to get paid. They want to do the job that they love, and I get that. But if you're doing the job that you love, I'm paying you, but I'm just poking you in the back of the head with a stick every half an hour. How long would it take before you quit? How many days in a row do you think you could put up with it before you either snapped and came after me with a stick of your own or just decided you're not coming back to work again? This is the same kind of thing, but it's for your spirit. And the AI is not to blame because it's just a tool. It's the way that it's being used. And the problem is that people who are using it will use it as a way to cut out the need to pay a human being. We've created this robot or this computer program or whatever that can actually do this job to a varying degree of success. But the fast and easy way that it makes it done is marginal compared to how many people we'd have to pay to do it correctly. And it's a stupid position that people take, but people don't care about stuff until it affects them, you know? And I like the idea that it's being painted as I'm being so altruistic because I'm worried about, you know, this handful of artists that are sad and tormented by their jobs and they're killing themselves. Great. What about the thousands, millions of artists who are having their artwork scraped away for free, cobbled together in somebody else's designs, and then being regurgitated out into the world for them to make money? People at conventions are now, I've just recently heard about this, was a fucking knockout. People at conventions are going to artist alleys and they're using AI-generated work and selling it as their own creative work. That is disgusting to me. But that's where it's heading. You know what I mean? If you're like, oh, well, it's fine to use AI to automate this and to style that. Sure, right. Until it gets loose and it starts eating more data and it starts scraping stuff from other people, then it becomes a problem, and it will be. And a lot of non-artists will say this kind of stupid shit, like it's making other people's lives easier. Really? Fucking form a union. Quit. If you work for Studio A, and there are 30 animators in there, and you guys are working fucking 10, 11 hour, 12 hour days, 6 days a week, and you're killing yourselves to get a project done, you're not getting paid right, you're not getting a chance to sleep and see your family and eat like a normal human being, fucking leave. If all 30 of you left that day, that project would grind to a halt. And then if you left and then were like, hey, we worked for Studio A and they treated us like this and they do us like this and that's why we don't work for them, you'll find that there's always going to be a scab who will want that job and take whatever they can get until they can't take it anymore. But by and large, the community would stand behind you and go, yeah, we don't support that. We're not for that. We don't love that for you. And they'll stand up against them with you. But it requires people to take a stand first somewhere. And if you don't, you will just get stepped on. And a lot of the artists that I know what it's like to have somebody steal from them. Like I said, I'd worked with a friend of mine and his cousin and one of it was a buddy of mine that I knew. We were both trying to do artwork. His cousin and one of his cousin's friends were like, hey, we wanted to make this book. We'll put it together. We want to help you. You know, we wanted you to help us create the stuff. And they were like, yeah, okay. We were like, cool, we'll do it. We started working with them. And then after a while, they just kind of cut us out. But they kept all the design work that we did. And that fucking hurt. You know what I mean? Because I trusted them. You know, I really trusted that we were going to work on this thing together and we were going to come up together. And it didn't happen. And now, I mean, that project has since died. And I think one of the people actually that was involved in the whole shenanigans has actually passed away, which is sad for him and his family. But I just feel like, you know, if you had been a better friend and partner to me, you know, I would have been more willing to help you out and to stand by you. And so I know what that pain feels like. Now imagine it's a robot. Imagine it's a computer program, an AI, a certain algorithm that steals and steals and steals and steals and steals, and it can't be stopped. You can't go over and punch it in the face. You can't put a lawsuit on it because it's just out there doing what it's designed to do. They're like, well, We made it for this purpose. This is what it's supposed to do. Yeah, but I didn't agree to this. Like, yeah, well, kind of is your stuff is out there. If it's on this platform, it does say that we can buy their rights to, you know, access information. So technically you kind of did. There's no leg to stand on. So that argument always makes me want to fucking kick somebody in the face. It's like, yeah, I mean, I get that times are tough and no one wants to be taken advantage of. Fucking quit. Like, no one's making you stay there. They're not slaves. They're not being chained to their desks. They're not being held at gunpoint. You know what I mean? They could leave anytime they wanted to. They just chose to stay there. So if you choose to stay in a vicious situation and get taken advantage of, I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't have a lot of sympathy for that. You know? It's like you have the ability to leave and you choose to stay. There's other ways to do this. You know? Form an artist collective. You got other workers there that are being abused. Y'all band together. Y'all create your own studio. Put your little nickels together and then make the project that you want to make instead of making the one that you're being forced to make or whatever you want to call it. See, that's why I can't get down with it. So AI can always kiss my ass. Now, I understand that there's a time and a place for everything. I do not think that AI belongs where in the position that some of these people are trying to hold it up to. Because like I said, once they start using it for ease of automation and animation, and it starts taking over some of those processes, it won't be too much longer before you just literally are just clicking swatches, dropping them onto a character, and the computer will script out the rest. What does it need you for then? Once it figures out how to replicate those different hairstyles, clothing styles, and whatnot, and it starts smashing those together and amalgamating them, what does it need people for? That's just my idea, though. I could be wrong. We'll wait and see. I hope that I don't have to find out. I hope none of us have to find out that way. But we'll see. And you know what? Let's lighten it up a little bit. Let's talk about some gaming stuff. I do video games. As I mentioned before, I have a Twitch channel, twitch.tv/linkib. Go check me out. Yeah, I've been doing Baldur's Gate 3 and loving it. And I got into the part of the game where you have a romance at player. So one of your player characters throughout the campaign, you can find a couple of dialogue options over time that you can romance this character and woo them. Now, it just so happened that I didn't really notice any of this was happening beforehand. And I played just long enough and just far enough in the game where I've gotten a decent assemblage of characters that I could have picked I could have basically had my pick of the litter at this one point. And I ended up picking one that I wasn't super thrilled about. But now I was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. So for those of you who know the game, there's a character named Shadowheart. She's like a Jark Justiciar. She is one of these, like a religious warrior kind of person. I don't want to go through all the lore and bore people who are not familiar with the game. But anyway, at a certain point, you get a chance to romance her. And it's at this big ass party. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it happens this way for everyone or if it was just the way that I played it so long that it was like, all right, now you have to do it. Like, as I was walking around, like every horny dialogue option in the game opened up. There's like 8 characters in the camp and all 8 of them are basically like, hey, you want to go and get some alone time? And I'm like, what the hell? I know it's a party. I know we drank it, but everybody, dude, all 8 of y'all, this is a lot to have to deal with. So I was walking around, I'm like, I don't know, man. Can I just do a platonic run? Like, I don't really want to have to romance anybody and maintain that relationship and manage it, but why? Like, I just want to do like a regular ass playthrough, you know what I mean? Like, can I do a platonic run of Baldur's Gate 3? And it was, as I was saying it, like, you know, people were like, you gotta pick one, man. I'm like, I don't actually have to do shit. Like, strictly straight up and down, I don't have to do a damn thing. I don't even have to play this. But like, I was just curious, like, if there's a platonic run possible without like missing out on something cool or, you know, a significant chunk of the story, then fine. Why do I have to do that? I shouldn't have to. Shouldn't feel compelled to have to either. I think that was the biggest thing. Mainly it's because there's also several different companions that I would have romanced. And one of them, I'm like, this is the one I actually wanted to experience this with. The other one, not so much, but it'd be interesting to try. So because of the options that I picked, because of those options, the character I ended up romancing just briefly was Shadowheart. And I didn't go all the way because you can actually go all the way with the character, which I'm like, Okay, yeah, that's a thing that happens. And I've seen some people do it. And like, yeah, man, I just thought I would hook up with as many of them as I could. I'm like, I didn't really want to do that. But I was like, you know, we get this moment alone. There's wine flowing, you know, letting each other in, opening up about our feelings. And then there's this little starry-eyed, dewy-eyed moment where they kiss. And then you kind of go like, ah, you know, man, maybe I should have done that. And she's like, oh, well, you can tell she's hurt. And you're like, ah, it sucks. No one likes that kind of feeling, but it wasn't what I was expecting. And then I'm like, oh, but then there's Karlach, who's like the fan favorite romance option for a lot of people. And she just seems really like tortured, but also bubbly and fun. And I'm like, Karlach kind of reminds me of like the kind of girl that I used to date like when I was in my teens and 20s. You know what I mean? And like kind of a little damaged, a little punk rock, a little hard-headed and headstrong, but fun, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. So I was like, maybe I should try that. But I think I may have shot myself in the foot with that whole Shadowheart thing. But we'll see. I'll be picking at it again a little bit later on. I didn't say today, and I am. But this week, actually, when this podcast airs, I'll probably be playing some more Baldur's Gate 3 in an attempt to try to finish it. And while we're on that whole subject of trying to finish a game, I got to tell you guys something that I don't think enough people pay attention to. And I'm certain that people who need to hear this probably won't. And those who do may not receive it well, but it needs to be said. There's no one right way for you to enjoy your game. I've seen some people who play games on like the casual mode, or some people call it baby mode. I know Doom actually makes fun of you and calls it thumbsucker mode. But yeah, there's no one right way to play. Generally speaking, when I'm playing like a first-person shooter, I try to go just a step above the normal difficulty level if it's available, just to add a little extra challenge to the game for myself. But in RPGs, I'm not that guy. Like, see, people watch me play a game like Destiny or Call of Duty or Apex Legends or whatever, and they expect to see me go hard in the paint for it, right? They expect me to be aggressive. They expect me to push the objective. They expect me to try to, like, overpower the other team. And, you know, when I can, I do. And if I don't, I die trying, right? But when it comes to a role-playing game, I'm here to experience the fucking story. These people have made this story that sweeps hundreds of hours, and then I'm not going to be the guy that's going to play the whole thing in like 40 hours and then be done with it. Now, if that's what you want to do, that's totally your prerogative. But it's my stream, it's my game, and it's my pace. It's my choice. I don't come in there where you're doing your thing and tell you how you should do your stuff. And it feels really rude and disingenuous when people do it to me. I try to be cool about it because I know that part of it is them wanting me to see and experience the game. That's great. That's fine. That means that I should be able to see and experience the game how I choose to experience it and at my own pace. And I know that that drives some people crazy, but like I tell them, you know, you can always come back. I'll probably still be doing this for another hour or so. If you want to come back in like hour four of a 6-hour stream, do that. That's fine. I'm not going to hurt my feelings at all. But the constant haranguing of like, you got to do this, you're taking this long and blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. If you want to do it, you do it. Do it as fast or as slow as you want to. But let me enjoy the game that I got the way I do it. Because here's the other thing. I've got so much more going on than just video gaming that the last thing I really want to do is to be rushed through what I'm doing. You know, the few times that I have where I can sit down and enjoy, like even on a day like today, I'm recording podcasts. You know, I've got like, there's dishes to do, laundry to do, I clean up after my stupid cat who just for some reason will not keep her goddamn food down. There could be errands that I'd have to run. You know, any number of things could be happening in my day. Now, if you don't have anything better to do than to sit and play video games all day, more power to you. That's great. That's not my life. And I shouldn't have to feel like I'm being forced in a certain direction because of the choices that I've made as a person and as a gamer. Just like I wouldn't want you to feel that way. It just feels rude and disrespectful. And especially because, you know, you have a choice when it comes to streaming and when it comes to like listening to podcasts or, you know, selecting your media, you have choices. And if you choose to be here, then you should choose to also be respectful of the fact that that person is doing what they're doing the way that they want to do it, you know? And we're so big on, you know, trying to let everybody live their best life and everything like that. Why the fuck doesn't it apply to me then? Is this too slow for you? Is this too tedious for you? There are other people who do it faster. I'm not going to be offended or hurt if you decide to do that and watch them. It won't make me feel bad at all. I understand you want to consume the entertainment the way you want to consume it. This is how I choose to do it. Literally made posts and comments and podcasts about this for months saying, I want to slow down. I want to take my time. I want to invest in what I'm doing and feel like I've gotten the most out of it. If that's not for you, feel free to go elsewhere. It will not hurt my feelings. When I'm doing something that you like, come on back. That's great. But the last thing I want to do is to be harangued in the little bit of time that I decide to peel off for this particular medium to be made to feel like an asshole because I'm enjoying myself, which is really what it is. You're taking so long. I'm having fun. Are you not? That's okay. Don't watch. It's fine. I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm not going to think less of you. You're allowed to feel how you feel, but don't make me feel like an asshole because I'm enjoying myself. That's rude. That's not cool at all. And it's very antithetical to the nature of video gaming as a recreational pastime and to what I want to do with my stream. And since it's what I want to do and it's how I choose to live it, I'm not going to be pushed past it. I'm going to do it. If anything, I'll go even slower. I can make this fun for you, or I can make this tedious for everyone. what are we going to do here? And I hate that idea, but it feels that way sometimes. You know, and it feels like, you know, people are like, you know, pushing you to do a certain thing a certain way. I'm like, I'm not for that. Also, I'm not 10. If you don't like what I'm doing, that's okay. I'm totally fine with that. I'm almost 50 years old. Like, the last thing I want to do is to be bullied at 50. What the fuck I look like? It's not going to happen. So just a little message out there. Let people enjoy shit the way they want to enjoy it. And if you're not feeling that you're having a good time, step away and come back. You never know. Maybe you just need a break. Maybe the problem is you're just not feeling it that moment. You could be like, yeah, man, maybe I need to eat a snack. Maybe I need to take a shower. Maybe I had something that I needed to do, like an errand I needed to run that's bugging me. And it's in the back of my brain. So like me watching you take your time is making me feel like I'm wasting my time. And what it really is that there's something that you should be doing and you're projecting it on me. I did all the shit I needed to do. I'm sitting here chilling on purpose. That's how I feel about it. Anyway, while we're talking about gaming, there's a couple things that came out this week that I didn't catch at all. Skull and Bones had another open beta this weekend. Missed it. Thought about picking it up, then thought more about the fact that I didn't really care much for the visuals that I saw, like the gameplay that I saw the last beta they put out. I'm like, I don't know if I want to bother. Modern Warfare 3 had a free trial. Missed it. I think it's mainly because I'm tired of watching Call of Duty retread the same ground, but then also do it worse than they did before. I mean, I was telling my friends the other day that my favorite Call of Duty game so far has been Call of Duty Ghosts. And that was because the story just felt a little bit more action movie. And the multiplayer was, in my personal estimation, the best out of all of them, with the possible exception of Modern Warfare 3. But none of that would entice me enough to go and download it to my console and attempt to play it through this weekend. I'm like, I would rather not. I would rather not. And so I did not. In Xbox news, there's some interesting stuff that's popping up over there. Xbox is purportedly making some plans to go cross-platform with some of their former exclusive titles. One of the indications came in the form of the Xbox Series X and S logos being taken off of certain titles, like the placards in the Xbox store, signaling the idea that they might be made available not only to people on PC, but to PlayStation and possibly even Nintendo Switch players. They did put out a statement, though, saying that they will continue to make the consoles, which is great because they got to do something. Apparently, one of the hints was that Phil Spector, who's one of the heads of Xbox, was saying that Xbox has effectively lost the console war. And to that point, I'd say they're right, because Xbox shot themselves in the foot with the Series X. It was their own dumbass fault for promising a console that would do all the stuff that it said it was going to do and then making 8 of them. You wanted to sell more consoles? Make more of them. That's what you do. You don't fucking throttle the market by saying, oh, we only made enough to cover maybe 1/10 of our entire currently installed player base. Whoops! Which is the reason why I held on to my Xbox One X for so long, even though it was coughing and wheezing into the, you know, last days of its life. One, I couldn't afford $600, $700 to get a console and a memory card for the damn thing. And then two, you could hardly find them. Then when you were able to find them, you know, as soon as you'd see them pop up, somebody would buy them. There'd be like two in a store, and there'd be somebody like, I'm buying both of them. And then they'd resell them. I'm like, fuck this, man. So Xbox shot themselves in the foot with this, which is probably one of the reasons why they're having to open up their, you know, gaming library to larger platform sales, because they just haven't made enough money and enough good games behind it, or enough good savvy business decisions to keep the console base like afloat. I'd love to say it was the opposite, but no, over the last, especially the last couple of years since the Series X and S were announced, they've done poorly. So I do understand that this will make more money for Microsoft and Xbox, and it does mean that more people out there in the ecosystem of gaming in general will get the chance to experience great games like Fable, like Gears of War, like Halo. Awesome games, definitely should get a chance to play them if you ever have it. And if it comes up on the PlayStation 5 or the Nintendo Switch and you can run it, go nuts! Have fun, you're gonna love it. I think the biggest problem is all these crybaby fans who are selling their consoles because Microsoft, oh my god, Halo's not gonna be an Xbox exclusive. Where's my identity? Go buy a personality then while you're at it. The money you sold your Xbox for. What kind of dope does this shit? It's the same people who would sell their console because Gears of War is no longer an Xbox exclusive who would make fun of somebody who burned a Colin Kaepernick jersey. You're doing the same fucking thing, you Nimrod. And then on top of that, you're not actually getting anything out of it. You know what I mean? If you get some money if you sell the console, but it's a stupid thing to do. Now you don't have a console no more. All the stuff that you were enjoying, you're not going to be able to do anymore. Durr? I don't get it. And I do understand the weak sales of the Series X and whatnot as being one of their arguments to be like, we're going to open it up. Yeah, but Microsoft had already been leaning towards cross-platform play well before anybody really opened the doors. They'd made these olive branch extensions to both Sony and Microsoft in years past, and Sony most notably shot them down out of turn. Just was like, no, we only play Sony games over here. Which is fine, until you start to realize that green pennies spend like blue pennies spend like red pennies. So no matter which console platform you're on, if somebody's going to open their game up to you, you should probably take advantage of it. If you're a game developer, you should absolutely be trying to put your game on as many consoles as possible. And Microsoft for the longest time held on to some of these franchises because they were flagship franchises, and rightfully so. I don't think that they necessarily have to open up Halo or Gears of War to other platforms. I think it would be a huge boon for gaming if it happened, but I don't know that it's going to make Xbox or Microsoft nearly as much money as they assume it might make. And even if it does, why? There's hundreds, thousands of other games that have been Xbox exclusive probably that you could open up those doors for instead of your flagship franchises. Like, good luck trying to get, if this is a deal to try to get like Mario and, you know, like if you're trying to get Mario and Link onto an Xbox console, it's probably never going to happen. Nintendo doesn't get where they get by giving away shit for free or even for sale. Like we don't have to. Like, I think that's their big thing. Like, we don't have to give up our flagship characters and franchises because people will pay to come get them here. Fair point. They will. The problem is that I guess because the cross-platform thing had been opened and broached already, Xbox and Sony are starting to look at it a little differently now and go like, maybe we are going to have to open these doors because we're going to open these wallets and moths come flying out. If we open the doors, the players will come in. So who knows? I'm just curious to see where it's going to go from here on out. And I'm really excited for the potential for competition, even if it doesn't actually end up becoming a real thing. Like, just the thought that somebody would be like, you know what, we could try this and see if it works. And if it works, this might make us a lot of money, and it might also spark some creativity and a little bit of competition in the gaming industry, which I think is the shot. Maybe it's not the exact way to do it, but it could be the kind of shot in the arm the industry needs to bring itself back up to good again. But anyway, I think that's going to do it for this episode. I've rambled on long enough, and probably need to go and feed the stupid cat if she can keep her food down this time around. Thank you again for another wonderful episode. Remember, you can check out streamlabs.com/linkib/merch for Wandering One Studios and Link IB merch, which is another thing you can access the portal on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. Valentine's Day, we're going to be doing a stream. Maybe I'll go back and do like a different character romance option throughout tomorrow's stream, or technically today's stream. And you can come and watch it, and I'll try to see which one of these folks is wanting to get a little shaggerific with me. Also, you can support the podcast through Patreon by going to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. That's patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. And you can sign up for free. The 7-day trials are available. So if you want to just listen to the episodes that are currently out right now, go ahead and have at it. And then decide if you want to continue to support. For just $3 a month, you get 2 additional episodes of the podcast every month. And they are driven by your questions and your comments. So feel free to write in. If you're going to throw $3, take like 3 minutes and write a couple questions down in an email. Send them along through the Patreon app. And let me hear from y'all. I really appreciate it. And again, as always, thank you so much for everything that you do when it comes to supporting this podcast and helping me kind of live this dream out. It's been wonderful. I'm looking forward to so much more great stuff throughout the rest of 2024. That's going to do it for me. I'm your host, Link Flores. You guys are amazing, and I will catch you a little further on down the road. Peace, everyone, and happy Valentine's Day.